now, by the way, Bush is correct about finding evidence, which we had doubted. I know BBC was looking ourselves, finding evidence that the Iraqi government was giving aid and covering up for al-Qaeda. As it turns out, we've now had the appointment of the new military junta of Iraq, two U.S. generals and a woman named Barbara Bodine, who is the ambassador to Yemen. Now, Barbara, Ambassador Barbie, she has had an interesting role. There was a guy, John O'Neill, who was in charge of the investigation, the FBI's investigation of al-Qaeda, who quit in disgust because he was, and then joined, became head of security at the World Trade Center and died in the building. But he quit in disgust on the investigation because he was blocked from hunting for al-Qaeda operations in Yemen. And one ambassador, Barbie, had gotten in the way of the investigation of al-Qaeda. So now, finally, when she moves into Baghdad next week, that we will now have evidence that the Iraqi government has, you know, protected al-Qaeda as soon as she moves into position. But aiding, harboring, and abetting, right? One of the other things that BBC reported, and we got this nice award from the California State University Journalism School for the most censored story of the year. It wasn't censored, it was the top of the nightly news all over the planet except America. This story of the FBI documents and other things, including that we had a State Department lawyer from Saudi Arabia who was stationed in Saudi Arabia. His job was to review visa applications, and some guys came to him for visas to enter the United States for an engineering conference. So he said, okay, where did you go to engineering school? And they looked at each other and they said, we don't remember. Visa denied. Then he's pulled aside, the lawyer, and told, visa approved. Visa's approved. These guys are working for our friend, Osama bin Laden, okay, for training in counterterrorism, as it's called, where they are to be sent to fight the big bad Russian bear in Afghanistan. Because see, this was again during the Reagan-Bush years when, again, Osama, we were happy to have on our team, okay, to fight the Russian monster. But, you know, apparently terrorists are kind of like homing pigeons. They come home to roost, right, when you train them. There are other things like a meeting in 96 of Saudi billionaires to pay off al-Qaeda. They didn't like this. They don't like each other, but they were to pay him off. Get him out of Saudi Arabia. Don't blow up our Rolls Royces. They just blown up the Khobar Towers. Go play in Afghanistan. And that meeting, okay, of which ended up in some funding for al-Qaeda, meant to send them to Afghanistan, but sometimes the money comes back and ends up funding, you know, flight lessons for people who don't intend to land planes, right? And who was in that meeting? And one name that comes up is Adnan Khashoggi from our source of BBC. Interesting. I believe he has an Atlanta connection, doesn't he? No? Khashoggi, that's the funding of one of the schools here or something. I have to find out. I'll check it out. Anyway, Adnan. So why weren't we looking at this meeting? Because if you can't follow the money, you can't find out where these guys are going. In other words, there was never any indication that al-Qaeda couldn't be investigated, just that you couldn't follow the Saudi connection of the money. You can't follow the money, you can't know where they're going next. What is this all about? It is not about that George Bush knew about the September 11th attack in advance and he wouldn't tell anyone. In fact, our rule, that's not what we're finding. In fact, our rule at BBC is that, you know, if any reporter accuses George Bush of knowing anything at all, you better have documentation, you know. Yeah, it's true. Very strict. And it's all about the money poisoning of foreign policy, which then affects the scope of our intelligence agency. It's money poisoning. It's the best democracy money could buy and the best foreign policy the Saudis can buy, okay? By the way, the reason, I just thought of another son of Atlanta, the reason Clinton would not look at some of those documents is at the request of a guy named Vernon Jordan. So the question of what is this money poisoning, for example, we have said that it is corrupting for corporations. We've just passed a law saying it is illegal for corporations to give donations to political parties because it buys corrupting influence and access. So you can't, so Chevron can no longer give $500,000 to the Republican Party as they did after Gulf War I. But there's nothing prohibiting Adnan Khashoggi from giving millions of dollars or others. Sheikh Abdullah Baksh, for example, also in that Paris meeting apparently, from giving tens of millions of dollars to the Bush family enterprises, okay, as he has done. So it's all about influence, poisoning, or affecting foreign policy. It's not about Bush knowing in advance. The reason I bring that up is that all those tales I told you that we reported at the top of the BBC Nightly News that won us all these journalism awards, again, just one congressperson said, gee, this stuff from BBC ought to be investigated, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Okay? But here's what happened. When she said that, she said it on WRFG's sister station in Berkeley, and she asked for an investigation of the intelligence failures before September 11th. She asked about an investigation into Saudi Arabian influence through business connections to the Bush administration and its retainers, just as Cy Hirsch has now outed the Adnan Khashoggi-Richard Pearl connection. She asked for that investigation, okay? And instead of that being reported, what was reported first in the Washington Times and then in that and then in the New York Times and National Petroleum Radio, and then finally, caught that, and finally the grand Atlanta Journal-Constitution was that Cynthia McKinney said, in fact, actually let me read the quote exactly from the New York Times. McKinney implied that the Bush administration knew in advance about September 11th and deliberately held back the information. She never said that, right? Never said that. They didn't run her denial that she said that. They didn't run the quote that that she supposedly said it. So I called, I don't want to just pick on the AJC. So I called the New York Times reporter and I said, well, you know, in Britain we don't have a First Amendment, so I can't just write anything. I could be sued for libel if I quote someone and it's not a true quote. So I'm very interested in what Cynthia McKinney said about George Bush knowing about the attack in advance, because after all, Zell Miller, that upstanding senator, said that she was loony, right? Zell Miller. You know. Was it before his electroshock or after? He said, Zell Miller, yeah. And so Zell had said she was loony for saying it, and she had said it. It would have certainly been a loony. But, you know, so I said, I need the quote. And I'm talking to the New York Times reporter. I happen to have my tape recorder on. And I said, she said, I've heard that statement. It was all over the place. And I said, well, we need something a little more specific than that. And then she said, did you search the Atlanta Journal-Constitution? And indeed, Cynthia Tucker, the editorial writer for the AJC, has insisted that Cynthia McKinney made this statement. And, ooh. And so what I have done, this is a jar of grape jelly. I've said that if the Atlanta Journal-Constitution can find the statement by Cynthia McKinney that they've quoted a half dozen times at least, most recently 2 weeks ago, a week ago, I said, if you just find the quote for me, I will eat an entire edition of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution in public tonight, right here. So where are you, Ms. Tucker? I've got my jelly to put on top of it. We did invite her here to bring it to AJC because I'm hungry. I guess she's not here. And I just went there and asked them, and I just made it easy. I actually just came from their office, and I still am waiting to find the source of this quote. Well, the source of the quote that ruined this congresswoman's career, this congresswoman who dared, this uppity black congresswoman who dared ask questions. And I have to tell you, The Times can't find, National Petroleum Radio can't find. I'm still looking for the quote, okay? And the reason I say this is that it was not just the loss of Cynthia McKinney. It's all the riddled corpses of the careers of those who ask questions. I mean, from McKinney to Phil Donahue, for God's sake. You know, I was going to be on... I was going to be on the regular on. I almost made it to US TV when I was signed to be a regular on the Phil Donahue show, and but I had to wonder what the heck is going on in my home country. I'm an American citizen still, right? I said, I had Dan Rather on my program in Britain, and he's a real journalist, by the way, not like kind of the fake empty hairdo that's known as Tom Brokaw, and. Well, no, though Tom Brokaw did say something honest. He said when they were bombing the oil fields, he said, well, they're not going to bomb them too hard because in a few hours we'll own them. So, I mean, that was one of the most honest bits of reporting of the Gulf War. Rather said to another reporter, he said, you know, I know we should be asking tough questions, but I'm not going to ask them because I'll be lynched as unpatriotic. So suddenly the flag is a gag. We, you know, asking questions is dangerous. And if you want to know, just ask Congresswoman McKinney. Just ask those who do ask. Okay, there was one exception. Senator Grassley, the Republican white guy from Iowa, right, a couple of weeks ago started saying, you know, we ought to look into those intelligence failures before September 11th. But no one called, Zell Miller didn't call him loony. I guess that's the kind of stupid white guy exemption to the rule.